This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Joe Catalan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Robert. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. And Joe is going to tell you about strategy. He is the CEO of Epicor. He's going to talk about software, about the cloud. He's going to talk about manufacturing. But first, Joe is in the unique position of being CEO six times and in six occasions has transformed an organization. So just talk, what is that like being a CEO six times?
Well, for me, it's a lot of fun because I enjoy what I do. I tell people that, you know, I don't work because I need to work. I work because I love what I do. I love going in and having the opportunity to understand companies and their markets. I love people. I love leading people. And so it's really fantastic. You know, you're doing your dream job.
So when you go into an organization, this is your sixth time at the races. What is it you do first to look at how you're going to transform an organization?
Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to get to know the company, to understand them, who they are. So I spend some time, you know, talking to the people, talking to the customers, and I want to understand their strengths and their weaknesses. And you don't want to just hear it from the managers who have been there a long time. You want to go down inside the organization and hear it from a lot of different people. You want to hear it from the customers. So I spend a lot of time getting to know the people and understanding who the company is.
And you've told me before that you have a conversation with managers where you open this up. Tell what happens in that.
Yeah.
This is in your interviews, right?
Absolutely. The first thing I do is I tell managers, look, you need to understand, when I come in, I'm going to go down and talk to whoever I want to. I'm going to talk to your people, or I may talk several levels down inside your organization. You know, I have the ability, desire to go speak to anyone that I think can tell me things I need to hear. So I go down inside the organization and I tell them, if you don't like that, go find yourself a job, because that's what I'm going to do. Because we have an open structure. I want people to feel comfortable that they can talk to me and tell me whatever's going on.
Okay, I want to interrupt you. So you go into the company. You're the new CEO coming in. You have a track record. Everyone knows you're going to transform the company. People are going to have their guard up, especially when you're not talking with your direct reports. You're talking two, three levels down. How do you get information from people?
If you understand how people think, they love to talk about themselves or their family or their grandkids. So what you do is you find a little nugget about that person. You walk in and talk to them, and you bring that out. You get them talking about themselves. And then you throw them the old zinger of the question you really want to know about, and they'll just open up and tell you everything.
Wow. That is fascinating. And how long do you do this? Is this like 1 month? Is this 3 months, 6 months?
Well, it depends. I'll typically 3 to 6 months. And, you know, if it's a bigger company, I want to get around also and talk to the customers. So it might take me up to 6 months.
Now, when you go in to transform a company, it's like a house. Not everyone has the same interest in design. You probably have certain things you know that they work, right?
Right.
How do you manage what you know is going to work with the uniqueness of a company?
Well, like I say, the first thing you do is you have to understand the company. What are their strengths and what are their weaknesses? And, you know, it really comes back to the first thing I like to do is set a strategy. Typically, you're coming into companies to grow the company. That's what everyone wants. They want to grow because that means success. That means opportunity for employees. So how do you define a growth path? So you do it with strategy. And so I go out into the world, I call it my worldview, and I understand what's happening in the marketplace. Who are my potential customers? What's going to make them spend money? Then I come back inside the company and I look at my strengths, my weaknesses. I want to take and align my strengths with the market opportunities, and then I want to figure out how to compensate for my weaknesses. And then that builds my strategy, and that tells me what I go do.
So the one thing you come up with is you always have a process for strategy.
Absolutely. It's a simple process.
And you use the same process and over again, yep. But everything else changes.
Then the transformation is how I change the company. And I tell people when I come in, if you don't like change, go find yourself a job, because this is all about change.
Tell me a story about a company you went in, what the challenge they were facing, what actions you had to take, and what the results were.
Like I say, everyone is a little different, but if you take the company I'm with now, Epicor, you know, I went into the company and we had a strategy that said we're going to take this one technology and we're going to use across all of our industries and we're going to displace all of our products. That is a very, very difficult thing to do. So what we had to do is we had to go back and reposition some of our other products into the vertical markets that they serve. So we had to change this whole product strategy, this whole vision, this whole direction. So what you have to do is you have to get your employees refocused. You have to redo your marketing. You know, you work with your marketing organization to reorient that strategy to the marketplace. You have to go to your customers and make sure they clearly have the message.
And in doing that, what is the real role of the CEO?
The CEO has to be the person out front, the leader. He has to be the one that portrays that message. You know, I like to sit down with my marketing people. I like to have a very clear and a very simple message that we're taking to our customers. But sometimes I like it to be kind of pushing the envelope. You know, for example, with Epicor, we came up with this message, grow business, not software. That's the message to our customers.
Grow business? What is grow business?
Well, the concept is, you know, we need to understand what our customers want. And our customers want to grow. So how do we help them grow their business? We don't want them to focus on technology or software. We'll do that for them. But my employees said, Joe, we can't go tell our customers that, because they're going to think that we're telling them not to buy software. No, it's a different story. We want to focus on them. You know, you're focusing on your customer, what they want, not trying to sell them something. That will come naturally if we tell them how they can grow.
It's fascinating. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Joe Cowan, and he is the CEO of Epicor. This is his sixth time transforming a company. Let's start off, talk about Epicor, what the company is.
You know, Epicor, we sell business software to the mid-market. You know, we have companies like Ace Hardware. We sell the primary business system that they use to run the individual stores with. You know, we're mid-market ERP manufacturing companies. We'll go sell the software that they do their supply chain with, that they run their manufacturing operations with, that they do their financials. You know, we have several industries like that we work in. But we're 50 to $500 million companies, the mid-market. And, you know, these are companies that really need a lot of support from their vendors. They need people who really understand and can help them transform, because this is all about transformation. We're in a time of change.
So let's take Ace Hardware. Now, I know John, the CEO, amazing company. He's a great leader. And, I mean, they have like 4,500 stores, and they've won the J.D. Power Award something like 9 times in a row. What specifically did you do with Ace Hardware?
We have people that understand retail, that understand store operations. So we sat down with Ace and we said, tell us how you like to run your businesses. Tell us the little nuggets and jewels that you need in your system that helps you succeed. And so we went in and built that into our software. But the unique thing about Ace is I can't just go sell that system to John. John says, I'll say I like Epicor, but you got to go support all of my individual stores. We've got 3,500 of their stores that we go support directly with that solution that is around ACE's process, how they win.
Now let's talk about your culture. So you have about 3,800 employees. Any unique practices you use to because you're going to transform the company.
Right. You know, when I come in, one of the first things I do is I get my employees together and we talk about change. I have to understand the culture. And the way I define culture is it's a personality. You know, just like people, we have personalities, okay? So companies have personalities. Are you a market-driven company? Are you a financially driven company? You know, are you a sales-driven culture? So I define the culture of the company first. And then I say, how well does that match up where I need to go? And I may need to change that culture. I usually do. So then, how do I change the culture? Well, one of the things I tell my employees, the way I describe to them, is I say, we've got to be a team pulling in the same direction. So sometimes you need some simple analogies for people. So the vision we have is a pot of gold at the top of the mountain. Now, you've got all these competitors trying to get there before we do. So when I talk about the vision and the culture, I said, think of yourself as a horse hooked to a wagon. How can we get to the top of the hill first? If I align you and make you all work together, we're going to get there first versus if I hook you and just clap my hands and let you run in any direction. So we talk about teamwork. And then the next thing I talk about is I don't like spur draggers. You know what a spur dragger is?
What?
A spur dragger is a person who verbally tells you they agree, but then they don't, so they'll sit on the back.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an Indy hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each Indy hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have, and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indy Hammered Knives. Custom knives made in America.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're speaking with Joe Cowan, and he is telling us a fascinating insight called spur diggers. And this could be the secret. If you're there, he's turned around six companies already. And talk about how this concept could really apply to the CEOs listening into this.
Well, the key thing is in your transformation and in your cultural change, you've got to understand the resistance that can exist to that change. And that's what the spur digger is. Someone who verbally acknowledges what you say you want, but really they haven't committed to do that. They still haven't changed. They want to go do things their way, not your way. So you've got to flush out who those spur draggers are because they slow you down. And the way you do that is, A, you either drop in some new people in the organization. Sometimes it takes a seed to transform and change things, so you drop in new people. Okay. Sometimes you go in and you just sit down and you explain to them, hey, either you're going to do it my way or the highway. So sometimes you have those conversations with people. But you have to understand who those key people are in the organization that are your spur draggers that do want to slow you down because they're not committed to the transformation.
Any other one piece of advice that you have for CEOs? Because that is a really interesting one.
The other thing I would tell people, and this is key to what I also talk to my employees, is we're here to serve our customers. You know, I'm here to serve my employees because I want them to be successful. But I tell my employees, you're here to serve our customers. Our key is making sure that our customers are successful. So how do we do that? And I like to talk about the concept of service is put yourself in your customer's shoes. Listen at, say, how would I want to be treated from this company? And if you do that, now you come back in and think about when you're interacting with customers. If you do that, then you're going to provide the best service possible because you're serving yourself.
On that note, let's shift over to the global. You have a lot of insights about how global is changing everything, what CEOs should view. Talk about it.
You know, in Epicor, we have a global business. We're in, gosh, 100 plus countries. You know, our software supports 35 different languages. But it's only 15% of our business, and it ought to be closer to 40% of our business. So we want to grow globally. So how do we do that? Well, the key thing you got to understand, today we're in a global economy. For example, these mid-market companies used to just do business in America. They don't anymore. They have operations around the world. Sometimes they want manufacturing in China. Sometimes they want manufacturing in Asia because they want to serve those markets. We want to see them exporting. They want to serve those markets as well. So you have to recognize that even in the mid-market, we're dealing with global organizations. So we need to build a structure that can support that. And one of the things I have to do is I have to have talent around the world. So I have to go find that talent. You know, I like from software support, you want to be able to support those customers anytime they call you. So I need that follow the sun concept. I need people in the U.S. I need people, in each time zone so that when a call comes in, it's routed to wherever my employees are around the world. So you're always supporting that customer globally. So that whole concept of follow the sun and supporting your customer is something that's very important.
I could see your passion about customers. It just comes out. So let's talk about digital transformation. Okay. You do a lot of work in the cloud, and it's growing dramatically, I think at 71% a year.
Right.
What is the future of the cloud? How should CEOs be looking at the cloud?
Well, technology is always changing. If you think about America, we talk about the economy and we talk about productivity. And one of the ways that we achieve productivity in manufacturing and in all these different businesses, you know, is through technology. And today, technology is evolving a lot of different ways, but cloud is one of the major areas. And what I tell my customers, especially in the mid-market, is, you know, technology can be very sophisticated. We know we've got all these foreign entities who want to penetrate our organizations and steal our information, steal our secrets. So how do we provide the security? And we look at the complexity sometimes of supporting this technology. How do we do that? The beauty of the cloud is it allows a company like me in order to support, because we'll run their systems in the cloud and we'll provide that technical support for them. So they can focus on their customers and their business and growing their business, and I'll handle all those technical issues that they don't have to deal with. So I'll handle that for them and let them focus on what's key to their success.
And you work a lot in manufacturing. How is the Internet of Things changing M10?
You talked about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, because I came up, I used to work in a manufacturing company many years ago, and technology has always been key. The key thing to the Internet of Things is it allows us to gather real-time information about what's happening in a factory. And then you think about the mobile technology. So I'm running a manufacturing plant. I'd like to be able to pull out my cell phone and find out what's happening in my business. But I don't want to know just from the accounting people. I want to know on the shop floor, if I'm a plastics company, how many parts am I producing? I want to know if I've got the right parts I've ordered from the supply chain to fulfill my customers. Because think about it, we're in a real-time economy. Customers want things right now. So I need real-time information, real-time data, so I can make real-time decisions. The right decision at the right place at the right time is what technology is all about today for manufacturing.
So I want to go back to your upbringing. We have about 2.5 minutes left, and I understand you grew up in a small Alabama town, and despite being high school valedictorian, you were not encouraged at all. Just talk about what your upbringing was like, and the negatives that happened, and then the positive influences as well that helped you elevate yourself to where you transform 6 organizations.
Well, you know, I did. I grew up in a very small town in Alabama. You know, I was 17 years old before I ever left the state. And I used to have people in high school that tell me a little
bit. That means you never left Alabama until you were 17 years
old. That's correct. Okay? Place was called Sand Mountain, but it's most densely populated rural area in America, is what I used to say. But, I went to a little high school, 60 people. They used to say, Joe, you can't compete when you go off to college. You know, we don't teach you the things that they learn in these big schools. You know, I went to Auburn. I graduated, number 5 in my class. I'm a problem solver. You know, I'm an engineer. Give me a problem, and I love to figure out how to solve it. That's what managing a company is all about. It's solving problems. And so that's what they taught me to do at Auburn. And, you know, I enjoy that so much. I've gone back to Auburn. I'm on the engineering council because I want to help Auburn teach other people what I learned. You know, to believe in yourself, to understand who you are, to know how to go solve problems.
And on that note, I'd like to thank you, Joe, for being a great guest on the CEO Forum.
Thank you, Robert.
And everyone listening in, remember, what you have to do when you're going to transform a company, go deep in the company, have real conversations by first finding out something about the person personally, and then set up the pot of gold and watch for those spur diggers.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com. Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather-tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
this is Robert Reese here on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Aaron Hollander. How are you, Aaron?
I'm very good, Robert.
And Aaron is the CEO of First Aviation Services, Inc. So let's start off later in the show. We're going to talk about some interesting insights on defense in America, on legislation, on leadership philosophy, and some CEO jobs you had before this. But let's start off talking about First Aviation Services and what your business model is.
First Aviation is in the maintenance, repair, and overhaul business, referred to as MRO, for corporate, military, and regional airlines. What our business is about is taking the components that are on aircraft and repairing them and bringing them back into service again. So our business approach is not to have the touch labor working on the airplane, but everything that comes off that airplane, such as landing gear, hydraulics, propellers, that's the market of First Aviation.
And it's a fairly competitive business. Talk about how you manage that.
It's a highly competitive business. It's an industry that's about 114 years old. We're competing with large OEMs who sold the products often at very tight margins and look to that razor blade business, and they protect it very aggressively. So anytime that we're getting into a new product, we're dipping into someone else's rice bowl. So it's an industry that's had very moderate growth, I would say, over the last 5 or 6 years. We've been fortunate to grow at about 10% a year, but it's always taking business from someone else, almost exclusively.
Okay, so I want to ask you that. You're saying you're just growing 10% a year, but I know the industry standard is closer to about 2% a year. So, and this is organic growth. So what are you doing to get 5X?
Those numbers are all based on organic growth. It's getting into new products. It's geographic expansion. The market in Asia has been growing, obviously, particularly in the regional airline market, much faster than the U.S. So it's getting that footprint, building those relationships with the airlines that are growing, getting into new products. We've added probably a dozen new products over the last 3 years, and it's just constant, relentlessly developing new technology.
And speaking of technology, how is technology changing the airline business?
Well, the airline industry, people look at aerospace as being very technically advanced. In actuality, it's a very conservative...
Now, wait, you said aerospace. Aerospace airlines.
Well, we serve a number of areas. When we say aerospace, we refer to the entire industry, which includes defense, it includes corporate aviation, the helicopter market, regional. So most people in the industry are going to refer to this as the aerospace industry. And the dynamic is the same. While on the one hand, it's an industry that measures itself against the speed of sound and at the same time looks to 1/10,000th of an inch when it's manufacturing a product. But it tends to be very conservative. So you can have a better idea, a better product, a better approach, but you have to build a lot of confidence in the customer for them to try what they haven't been used to doing, say, for the last 10 or 15 years.
Tell me a war story about a client you're working with, what types of challenges they face, and what types of results you're able to achieve.
One of the biggest challenges we have today is getting particularly airlines or military procurement offices to adopt a more open approach to what their alternatives might be. What I mean by that is what First Aviation does is we provide an alternative to the OEM when it comes to maintenance. The OEM is generally similar to your car dealer is going to go in. They're going to tend to be a little bit more expensive. They're going to want to replace parts. In the defense area, the airlines, they're looking for ways, how do they keep this product as safe as possible, but look for a competitive advantage. And you have many airlines, for example, that just say, I only want to use the OEM. I don't want to think about the alternative. And that's probably one of the big challenges we have is to go to them and say, look, over the next 10 years, you may be able to save $10 million on doing this maintenance. You'll have a better product, better quality, better time, what we refer to as time on wing. But to get them to try it is difficult. What tends to happen, it's their peer group that ends up selling them. The peer group who have already adopted some more modern approaches say, well, why aren't you using some of First Aviation's technology? and they dabble in it, and it's usually very successful, and then it starts to grow from there.
This is Robert Friess on the CEO Forum, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Aaron Hollander, who is the CEO of First Aviation Services, Inc. And so when we talk about the entire aerospace business, let's talk about the current status of defense. We're in a new administration in Washington. Give me your take on what's really happening in Washington about defense, because you deal with commercial as well as defense.
What we've seen in defense, and this goes back for multiple administrations, we've studied this over decades, we've gone back and looked at all the studies, the majority of emphasis on defense procurement, which is really what I think people are interested in, tends to focus on the acquisition of new systems and how do they bring more competition to the acquisition of a new aircraft, for example, or a new missile program. What we believe and what we believe the numbers substantiate is that it's the cost of the sustainment that's the real cost in the Defense Department. It's not the acquisition cost. It's not saving 10% on a new fighter jet.
That's because interesting, because that's not commonly what
it's not commonly.
And that's not what the media talks about.
No. Most people are focused on the F-35 and how do we take some of the costs out. And absolutely, there's a lot of costs that can come out of that F-35. There's absolutely improvements in speed to get that program delivered and meet the requirements. But the part that most of people are not focused on is that when you put that aircraft in place, you're going to spend 3 to 7 times as much to support it over the life cycle. And the people who are making the decisions about what weapon systems to buy and negotiating the contracts are not communicating with their own depots or the part of the supply chain that's going to support this system. We have examples of where the Defense Department is acquiring on a sole source basis for 60 years for the legacy C-130s. 60 years it's continuing to sole source essentially all the parts to maintain the propellers for a 60-year-old program. They now are obsoleting those aircraft slowly with the newer model, C-130J, and they're making all the same mistakes. They're continuing to sole source. About 70% of what the Defense Department purchases for sustainment is on a sole source without full and open competition.
Okay, so basically what I'm hearing is people are always saying, what is the cost? But it's actually the cost over time, especially if you're in a 60-year contract. What percentage of the cost over time? Is that like 20% of the purchase cost? Or
the sustainment cost over time will be a minimum of threefold and as much as 7 times.
300 times as much?
300 times
See,
as much.
See, why is no one telling this story? Yeah, I'm guessing the taxpayers are getting killed here.
The taxpayers are getting killed. The war fighters are getting killed. Because one thing that was one of our challenges when we talk about our, no pun intended, the war story, getting this accomplished, is that it was very difficult to get political people on board because they didn't want to be labeled as anti-defense. That's a killer at home when it's in the voting booth. We're very pro-defense. We believe there's not enough money being spent on modernization. We don't think we're spending enough money on cybersecurity. We're not spending enough money on missile defense. And the list goes on. So the question is, we're running enormous budget deficits. We're not putting the money in where we need to put it in. How do we solve this problem? And the answer to us is stop wasting money on sustainment on a sole source, uncompetitive basis when that money can be better spent on the what we need for future war fighting. That's what we see as the solution.
And you've been working legislatively trying to
We've been working
done.
Legislatively, and I think one of the lessons that we learned during this process, we felt like we were just grinding it out. It was very challenging, and people were sympathetic in Congress, but people didn't want to stick their neck out. And there was one woman, Virginia Fox, congresswoman from North Carolina, who is not in our district where our facility is. And she's one of the most conservative members of Congress. She's a total defense hawk. And as she said, I'm a defense hawk, but I hate waste. And she's the one who was willing to get out there and push this. And then when other people said, you know what, if Virginia Fox can be behind it, then we certainly can be behind it, and it's building momentum.
This is Robert Gries on the CEO Forum. We're speaking with Aaron Hollander. We'll be back in a few. Then we're going to talk, I'm going to ask him about the FAA, some leadership issues, and he actually was a former CEO of the famous Skip Barber Racing, so we'll ask him some leadership lessons from that as well. Back in a few.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Aaron Hollander, who is the CEO of First Aviation Services. And we were hearing before that the actual cost, it's not about what you're buying things for, but it's the sustainable cost, can be up to three to seven times as much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so let's just talk, what's happening with the FAA now? What are your insights there?
Well, the FAA has been getting some criticism in the media. I personally am one of these believers that in total the FAA does a remarkable job with a very tight budget. They're making improvements to the future air traffic control system, which we're very supportive of. Our biggest challenge with the FAA is that we would like to see them enforce their rules more vigorously. Just as there are in the Defense Department, the rules are very clear. They're not supposed to acquire weapon systems that they don't have the rights to maintain. They're not supposed to be giving people monopolies. The FAA also has some very good regulations that require there to be competition in the aftermarket and support, and that lowers the cost for airlines. It improves innovation. We believe it improves safety. But it's a challenge to get the FAA to actually enforce their own rules.
In one sentence, I'm going to ask your advice, and basically, so you know, I know you've won the Maintenance, Repair, and Overhaul Award from Aviation Week and Space Technology. So what is, to CEOs listening in, what is the advice, if there is one sentence of what they should be aware of what should happen in Washington, what would that be?
And most business people are going to say we need less regulation. Our perspective is that we have to be thoughtful about what regulations we're going to remove and which ones we're going to enforce. Some of the best regulations we see are extremely simple, made up of one or two or three sentences. So I think that the landscape going forward, particularly as it relates to aviation defense, the challenge is going to be not as much removing regulations as saying we need to emphasize the ones that really matter and push the other ones aside. Some of these puddles are a lot deeper than they appear, and we have to be much more focused on that.
Okay, Aaron, let's now shift over to the personal side and your leadership philosophy. So first, I want to ask you, what was it like being CEO of Skip Barber Racing School?
Well, I would say running Skip Barber was probably one of the most challenging and one of the most rewarding businesses that I've ever run. I would say rewarding in that the people who went to Skip Barber, whether they were a 14-year-old, and one of the things I did is lowered actually to 12 and then to 13, how early people could start their racing career, was one of the changes that we made. To someone who's an executive that says, I've always wanted to go to Skip Barber, I want to race on some of the greatest tracks, it is a life experience for them. I would wear that jacket with the logo on if people stopped you in the airport to talk about Skip Barber. And I would always be very reluctant to say that I was affiliated more than just a customer, because I really wanted to hear what they said and what their experience. And then after all the questions, they would say, I think you probably work with the company from all the questions you're asking. So in that respect, very rewarding. From an operational standpoint, it's extremely challenging. You can have 15 different activities happening all over the country at 3 to 5 different tracks. You have instructors who are very talented race car drivers who are doing instruction in some cases to get them from race to race. In other cases, it became their eventually their career to be an instructor. You're building race cars from actually landing tubes.
I want to interrupt you. What is it that makes someone into a really good driver? You see, we're all driving along. We feel like we're on the Autobahn. We're not all going to school. But you have to have seen it. What is it? Is it instinct? Is it the curves? What is it?
I would say what's interesting about motorsports, there's only a few sports that if you have the money, you can actually get to the highest level. This is a sport where it absolutely takes talent. I think like any other sport, a lot of people think whoever has the most courage going into that turn is the one who's going to win a race. And that's usually the way to lose a race.
Oh, really?
The lessons of motorsports are so similar to business. And one of the great ones is it's not how fast you go into that turn. It's how fast you come out of that turn onto the straightaway that really matters.
Oh, nice.
And so those are some of the life lessons. I think the other one that I learned from the instructors when we were having some very difficult business challenges, there's an expression in motorsports, which is use everything you have. And what that means is if you're trying to get sponsorship and you're good looking, use it, okay? If you are a talented speaker, then use that to try to help promote your sponsorship. But it also means what happens in the car. If you're losing your brakes, well, guess what? You're going to have to figure out how to use your clutch and your transmission to get you through those turns and compete. Use whatever you have. And it's a great lesson that applies to business. I mean, no two businesses are the same. They're going to be competing. And you have to constantly be saying, what are we good at? What are our strengths? Okay, that part of our system failed. How are we going to make up for it somewhere else?
And that's not the only part of transportation you're skilled at. You also are a licensed flight as well as helicopter. So what have you learned from those experiences about leadership?
Well, I would say if you were to ask the people, my direct reports over the years, whether it's at Skip Arbor or Intech or First Aviation, they would probably say much of my mentality comes out of being a pilot for almost 40 years. And as a pilot, obviously you don't get, and I'll fly anything, I'll fly a wheelbarrow if you give me the keys. There's a certain element when you approach it is risk management. So how do you manage that risk? No matter what anyone says, flying is inherently dangerous. What makes it safe is our total approach. First, fly that airplane. That's number one. Don't panic. If you panic, that's all you can do. But fly the airplane, then navigate, then communicate, deal with that emergency. And there's very few emergencies that require immediate instant action.
You've got 20 seconds left. A lesson from a CEO. I know you're big on that.
I've been very lucky to work with some incredible CEOs. Every one of them has are tremendously different. I would say the one thing that's in common to all of them is they're very comfortable who they are. They have a self-confidence about who they are and a quality and comfortable in their own skin.
Well, Aaron, it's been great having you on the CEO Forum.
Thank you, Robert.
And everyone listening in, remember this. It's not how fast you go into the curve, it's how fast you come out of the curve. And if you're in trouble, don't panic. Keep flying that plane.
It's called the Deep State. Barack Obama's most loyal aides still hold office, and they want to stop President Trump. Deep State was first revealed in the runaway New York Times bestseller, Big Agenda. David Horowitz's Big Agenda exposes Obama's government in exile and his shocking plan. Newsmax, Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter all say you must read Big Agenda at bookstores everywhere, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.